figure and ground. Love is a tree with no roots. It's a game. It's a box of cracked marbles. The skyscraper man undresses beneath the moon swollen purple as bruise. I didn't choose this face from some garish rack like a dress on discount. It fell on me with all the weight of your forgotten pocketbook. You can love a rock like a screaming child. You can love a bush. You can love an echo chamber or a Brannock device that cradles your foot and maybe begin to forget what your mother told you. There isn't a word for the way the meaty weight of your snores insinuates into a dragon or whetstone or a priest with too much gravel and not enough posy. We chose this. You with eyes like plums, my fists, bald presidios fixed in orbits deeper than the trenches we used to hide our contraband. What treasures. Numinous brews and trinkets to ease your collar. Swaths of thick fabric diapered in blue and white diamonds. Wide-eyed child dolls that strobe warmth as plush as the Grandmaster's cabin. You've left the stove on again. You've burned the roast. Without me, you would shadow your stars under a wicked basket woven from sinew and temptation, thick as the mud in your breath. Love is a box of crayons. Some are always broken. Look. Look. Maps cover your hands. I compass them in mine and lead you back into the water.
Do I come for one more?
And I will do one more. I believe Kit and Nick did already hear this one, but I want to do it again, so I'm going to. I thought I would end with a different instructional poem. What to do in the event of a plane crash. One. Don't panic. Pilots can smell panic, and it makes them jumpy, like horses before a storm or the way an ape might cradle an egg. Two. Count the times you said you were sorry. Subtract out the number of times you meant it. Multiply by a numerical representation of the way your favorite wine slides down your throat and divide by the square root of your father's middle name. This number means nothing. It's worthless. Throw it away. Three. Stop taking cryptic advice from omniscient narrators. We don't know shit about shit. Seriously. Four. Panic! You are going to die. If the sky wolves don't gobble you up, the clouds will choke and smother you. If the cabin pressure drops suddenly, your skull will pop like a tart. In the event of a water landing, you will not float. Go ahead and clutch your seat cushion like your grandmother's bones if it makes you feel better, but you will not float. Five. For Pete's sake, clean up after yourself. Do you think your mother works here? Well, she doesn't. Not since they caught her pilfering honey roasts and fraternizing with the criminal types they keep locked in the necessary room. Six. As you lie in the wreckage, try to take your mind off the flaking sensation behind your eyes by working on that crossword puzzle you packed or cracking the latest Zadie Smith. Seven. It can take a long time for the rescue crews to arrive, and I know how tired you are. Just take a short nap. I'll wake you before the sun goes out. Eight. Try desperately to remember what eight is for. Because no matter how many poets think it's clever to make like they forgot what eight is for, the violet femmes can't help you now, bucko. Go on, try to remember. I'll wait. Nine. I'm done waiting. Did you figure it out? Good. Now you can stop panicking. 10. If you wake in what appears to be a 3-star hotel in Spain, congratulations are in order. You've made it into heaven. 11. If you are in hell, it will still manifest to you as a hotel in Spain, but you will find the staff insolent and all the ice machines out of order.